It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
All right, we are back. Well, two of us are back. I don't know where Joe is, but so we will.
He'll catch up.
Yeah, he knows the playlist. We will do some School of Fools to start us off. We got three School of Fools. Like I said, school's back in session, and the foolery is in full gear already. If I can just find
the jingle.
There we go. All right, I'll play this. Hopefully, by the time it's done, Joe will be back or not. All right. First story comes from Texas. This was the subject matter for Pip's blog this week. Last two blogs by the kids, Joe and Pip. Very good quality blog. I definitely encourage you guys to check it out over at davincomedy.com. Every week, one of us puts up a new blog with some of the stories that we will be covering. And Pip was passionate about this one, and Joe was passionate about ice cream and trucks last week. Good stuff for you guys to read. All right. Texas Governor Greg Abbott is calling on state education officials to investigate a teacher who gave an unauthorized assignment to students that compared cops to slave owners and KKK members. KKK members. Yeah, I almost had an extra K.
Yeah. How many strikeouts do you want?
Why can't we just call them like K-cubed? Why can't we just do that?
Because people would have no idea what you're talking about. Do you know what the state of education is about math?
How about K to the third white power? No?
I like that. Wordy.
We're using integers. All right, let's move on. The Republican governor shared his disgust on Sunday on Twitter. Because if you're a governor, that's where you go to share your disgust. You go right to the Twitter. Over the assignment featuring a 5-panel political cartoon, starting with a slave owner holding his knee on a black man's neck and ending with a police officer on a black man's neck who says, "I can't breathe," a clear reference to George Floyd's police-involved killing in Minneapolis in May. A KKK member and a white sheriff are also included in the cartoon, both of whom are depicted with their knees pressed on a black man's neck. A teacher in a Texas public school comparing police officers to the KKK is beyond unacceptable, Abbott tweeted. The teacher should be fired. I'm asking the Texas Education Agency to investigate and take action. Abbott's criticism came days after the Fraternal Order of Police National Vice President Joe Grimaldi spotted the assignment. What is he, trolling schools? The assignment, and shared it with his nearly 10,000 Twitter followers while calling out the Wiley Independent School District outside Dallas. This is abhorrent and disgusting and only further widens the gap between police officers and the youth in our community. With this gap so wide, how can I get my knee on them? No, that's not what he said. He did not say that. That was me. A message-seeking comment from district officials was not immediately returned Friday, but spokesman Ian Halperin told the Fort Worth Star-Telegram that the assignment was part of a social studies class at Cooper Junior High School. Students in class were being taught about the Bill of Rights, and the assignment was intended to educate them on political satire, Halperin told the newspaper. The cartoon, which was not approved by district officials, was chosen by the teacher, who was not identified by the district. The assignment has since been pulled, district officials told KTVT. Wiley ISD is aware that a junior high school social studies lessons taught at one of our schools included political cartoons that have been divisive in our community, the district announced Monday. The assignment has been removed and the students will not be expected to complete it. We will continue to work with our staff to ensure content follows the state curriculum. The district also apologized in a since-deleted tweet saying it was sorry for the lesson that reflected negatively on law enforcement officers. We value them and will do better, the apology read. The Texas Education Agency did not immediately return a message seeking comment. A teacher in a Texas public school comparing police officers. Oh, that was Abbott again. All right. So, all right, let me give a little context here of some stuff that's going on that's not reported and just some points. So Governor Abbott misled when he said a teacher in a Texas public school comparing police officers to the KKK is beyond unacceptable. And he said the teacher should be fired. The teacher did not make the comparison. The teacher was not in class, you know, and this was part of the lesson. You know, the problem with cops is they're like the KKK. Nay, nay. Nay, nay. The teacher did not do that. The cartoon did that. So you're calling for the guy to be fired, and you can't even get your facts straight. You're trying to be hyperbole, which we see a lot in politics, but that does not work here with me.
Well, who put the cartoon out?
I don't know. I don't know where they got the cartoon from. That's not included in the story. But your beef. I mean, you can have a beef with the teacher for sharing the cartoon. You can have that beef if you're so inclined. But you can't say the teacher compared the police to the KKK, because unless the teacher's a cartoonist too, that did not happen.
What was the assignment titled?
It was supposedly about political satire. How that has to do with the Bill of Rights, I'm not exactly sure, but I'm not in that social studies class.
Because basically we're on our horses, but we don't know what fort to charge at.
Well, but apparently neither is the governor, so I feel fine to be on my horse.
Like I say, because I don't know what's going on here.
Okay. And you know, it's quite as we really don't know the teacher's opinion on this. The teacher might think that this cartoon is abhorrent and saying, look at the state of political satire too. We really don't have the teacher's point of view. Governor Abbott does not have the teacher's point of view, but he's just stirring the pot, trying to make headlines, because I guess there's not enough going on with your COVID-19, Governor Abbott, for you to focus on that you gotta do this. We see this today in politics, but again, I will not let that slide.
What's interesting in this on the school assignment compares police officers to slave owners and KKK, and they show these different depictions here. Did the National Fraternal Order of Police assemble that and put it out to represent what they feel the teacher is teaching, or did the teacher put this out?
No, the teacher didn't put it out. The National Fraternal Order, the vice president, got his panties in a bunch. Also, let me continue with this, though. Governor Abbott does not want an investigation. An investigation means we're going to research what happens, and then we will act appropriately. No, he wants an investigation that leads to the firing. He doesn't even care about an investigation. He wants a firing. Governor Abbott is full of crap, and I would tell him to his face, he's full of crap right here. He's just grandstanding. Now, also, I understand why the police are upset, but with humor, there usually is a shred of truth, as the three of us know, since we do that for a living. So let me tell you some of the origins of policing in our country, according to Time Magazine, time.com. So, you know, it's different in different parts of the region we're policing, but it was policing for pay. It was not something that was done for free. They were pretty much mercenaries that originally policing in this country. But in the South, the economics that drove the creation of police forces were centered not on the protection of shipping interests, that's what was going on in the North, but on the preservation of the slavery system. Some of the primary policing institutions there were the slave patrols tasked with chasing down runaways and preventing slave revolts. Potter says, the first form of slave patrol had been created in the Carolina colonies in 1704. During the Civil War, the military became the primary form of law enforcement in the South. But during Reconstruction, many local sheriffs functioned in a way analogous to the earlier slave patrols, enforcing segregation and the disenfranchisement of free slaves. So historically, the police were directly tied to slavery and oppressing black people. So, listen, it's not as overt today, but you could see how black people might feel, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. They don't want you to know that. They just want to get their panties in a bunch, where if you really want to make things better, you go, listen, I'm familiar with the history in this part of the country with policing and slavery. I'm familiar with what's going on, black people, and but I'm here to say, we're going to go further. We're going to make things better. We're not the origins of slavery. Now we work for everybody in the public. But they don't want to do that. They're grandstanding. And I got to tell you, listen, I'm pro-police. I'm pro-good police. I hang out with my neighbor all the time who's a cop and everything. But I got to tell you, over the past couple of months, I've noticed the police are such sensitive snowflakes with the blue flu, and we feel underappreciated. So does everybody. Everybody feels underappreciated. Now, I realize you have a very difficult job. I do not take that away to you, though. Although, according to the president, the reason why you shoot somebody seven times in the back is because it's like a golfer missing a 3-foot putt. Nay, nay. Nene, police, yeah, that was last night in Laura Ingraham, even she's like, you don't mean that. He's like, no, I do. But I will concede.
Well, it's like having a convicted felon that wouldn't comply, was shot with tasers, and it was reaching into something that could have been a gun. Maybe the cop wants to go home alive that night.
Well, that's another thing right there. But no, that's not, he was talking about choking. He said the police choke. I would not compare what the police do to a golfer choking. Policing is life and death. It's not really, you could say they panicked, you could say they got scared. I wouldn't call it choking. You know, when I play ball, well, you know, I choked when I threw out the first pitch and I didn't get to warm up and I threw it straight as an arrow 20 feet over to the catcher to the backstop. I choked. That was choking. It was not life and death. I just screwed up. But and that's another thing. I'm glad you brought that up. The police want to go home. I get that. But you know what, man? That's not the gig, man. That's, you know, it's like a Navy SEAL. They want to go home, but they sacrifice to something greater. I get you want to go home, and you do everything that you can to keep yourself safe, but the job is protect and serve. You know there's an element of risk, and you are the last line between yourself and the public. So I'm not as sympathetic to that line as I know a lot of people are, just because the way I hold police who do their job in such high regard, and what I know they're sacrificing, and what I know their families are sacrificing, I'm not as likely to hear that, well, you know, my first job is to get home alive. No, that's not the job. That's not the job. We want you to get home alive. But every time you go into the locker room and you go out and patrol, there's a chance you may not, which is why you should get paid a lot more than they get paid. I've been advocating that for years. The cops should get paid way more than they get. It's ridiculous.
But, you know, I'd love to sit here and debate, but
that's the show
on the essence of the story.
Right.
What was the material that the teacher posted? And what was, you know, obviously, the Fraternal Order of Police put this out, because the whole basis of it, he doesn't get satire. But they haven't, maybe I'm not reading the story right, I haven't seen evidence of the material that was handed out.
It's this cartoon. The outrage is over the cartoon, which I posted on the blog. I always put a picture for everybody's blog.
Right. Okay, now, because I want to unpack this. Who posted the cartoon?
I don't, I think... You know, that's
you probably got it out of the newspaper or a magazine.
That's our key thing in the.
You know, here's how I would probably deduce it, and it's a very good question you ask. Probably what happened is a parent complained and posted it somewhere. Then the vice president Grimaldi, the Fraternal Order of Police, saw it, and then it worked its way upstairs. Because I'm guessing that's what happened. I'm guessing because I don't think a teacher posting this.
I think you're misunderstanding Joe's question. Joe's saying, where did the cartoon come from in the first place? Isn't that what you're asking?
I just wanted to find out, did the police, did the Fraternal Order of Police post this? Or did the teacher put this up? Or what was the bit? Because like I said, the ancillary things of this discussion, you and I could sit and we'll talk and we'll discuss, we'll point back and forth. But it's like there's a fire. But we're discussing on the best pail of water to use it, you know, and how other guys haven't used good pail of water. We're not really addressing it just due to the essence of this story. What was actually posted? Because if the teacher posted some other things that were political satire for the 1800s, going up to the 1900s, the whole debate is, yeah, everybody's got to loosen up. I'm sorry, everybody's got to relax because it's a satire. But this photo to me doesn't look like satire. It looks like a radical idea. So debating on it is kind of misleading due to the crux of the story. I hope you understand what I'm saying.
Well, no, but satire can be radical. I mean, you know, this is very pointed. And I understand why the police would be offended by it. Don't get me wrong. I understand why they would be upset about it. But at the same time, it's a cartoon. It's a cartoon. We have other things to worry about. I feel like this is a lot of grandstanding. Now, I could be wrong. You know, but we have no evidence. It'd be one thing if the teacher got up there and gave an anti-police spiel in the class. Then I'd be with. Then I'd be with you. Go. No, no. We don't need. We don't need the teacher's opinion in the classroom. There's no place for that. But since we're saying it's satire and nobody's disputing that it was done for satire, then you just got to go. All right, that's what he's teaching, and so be it.
Yeah, because I wish the story would say, "Well, this is what this teacher posted, and this is what the Fraternal Order of Police, posted." Now, this photo, I think, is horrible. I don't think it's satire. I think it's just an opinion piece. But now we could fight and argue about this the whole night long, and God knows we have, over topics like this. But is it something? Well, I think it's wrong. Well, you know what? The Fraternal Order of Police picked out some things that they felt would represent what this teacher's saying, and we're fighting over something that the Fraternal Order of Police posted to emphasize their point, not the actual thing that the topic was brought up against. But like I said, that's my two cents.
I think you know what? I think it's satire. I think it's very heavy-handed.
It's very pointed criticism. In my mind,
yeah, they're not pulling any punches, and I think if it's satire, I go back and forth. Would kids that age, middle school, get satire? But yeah, my daughter's been sarcastic for years, so yeah, kids do get it. Really depends on how it's taught, but I think there's too much grandstanding here. I think a governor needs to leave that to the local school board to figure out. If the parents are in an outrage, you go to the superintendent, you have a board meeting, you figure out what's going on, you make the decision there. For the governor to weigh in like this, it's like when the president dips into this stuff. It's like, don't you have something more important you can be doing? There's so many more important issues that the governor has to worry about. One teacher and a political cartoon, the Fraternal Order of Police, the vice president needs to worry about this. Hey, stop putting your knee on people's necks, then you don't gotta worry about it. Last week I tried to show a knee on a neck and I pulled a muscle. It's not good for anybody. You gotta stop. Clean up your house. That's what it is. That's what I would say. Clean up your house. The Texas governor has real issues with COVID-19. They've had some real issues. The police have some real issues going on. Let the superintendent work it out. Let the teachers.
So if I was the governor and I looked at that, I would hit the roof. But I would ask the questions that I'm asking now. Who posted this? Did the teacher post it? I want to see the material that she posted it. And then I would even have my opinion on it, or I would personally call the superintendent and have a discussion if I felt that way. But like I said, the crux of this is kind of, in the contents of our show, this is a day in court for this. And it's like, all right, well, who posted this? Is it representative of what the woman was teaching or the woman was showing? If this was a college course, then we can have a big debate where, I could say, well, it's college-age kids, it's a hot topic, but it would be open to discussion and debate in the class, But for kids that are in junior high and maybe younger, no, I don't think it's appropriate based on if she posted this.
I think I don't know how it ties in with the Bill of Rights. I'll be honest. I don't know how it ties. Maybe the free speech. I don't know how it ties in. We don't know the lesson plan.
It was civil rights, and one of the I'm getting confused because I'm getting the feeling that Joe hasn't seen the whole cartoon, because he keeps saying, what did she post? It wasn't that she posted it was that she was going to use this cartoon as a tool in her classroom, as I understand it.
It was a lesson.
It was a lesson. So someone else created the cartoon. She took the cartoon and said, okay, this is going to be part of the tool of the lesson, which is on civil rights. In part, I mean, the whole argument of the it's a picture of a slave getting captured, a slave trader, and then the Ku Klux Klan, and then a southern white sheriff before civil rights, and then it was of the police who put his knee on George
Floyd.
And so in each panel, the person, the oppressor, has his knee on the African or African American's neck, just like in the last panel. So it's like, yes, they are putting the police in really bad company, but it's obvious tie in to civil rights, because especially the panel right before the George Floyd panel shows pre-civil rights era sheriff with his knee on the African American's neck, and so that is right before civil rights, and it speaks to why the civil rights movement was needed. And you could argue, I don't know that this was the teacher's lesson plan, but you could argue that's why the Black Lives Matter movement is going on now, is because civil rights is not done. It's not done changing things enough. And so it's a beautiful civil rights lesson. It's also a lesson in, you know, the First Amendment, because you're discussing, does the cartoonist have the right to say this? Is what the cartoon is portraying something that you, do you think that that's fair, what's depicted? There could be a really lively classroom discussion. The problem I have with the governor stepping into this and trying to take away the opportunity for them to have this lesson, which is well needed, even with young minds, for them to be able to learn to be critical thinkers. They're not just going, oh, Black Lives Matter is good or bad. It's like, here's something that explains why this is an issue today, and they could discuss, do they think that this is fair, comparing this one or that one? But it's not to brain, I mean, I don't know her lesson plan, but I would doubt that it's to brainwash young minds into thinking one way or the other. It's to foster discussion.
It looks that way. It looks that way to me, if she's using that in the context of the age group of the class it's being presented. Okay, if you want to present this in front of a college class, I don't agree with the photo, but I wouldn't have that big of a problem with it, because there are more older minds, more developed minds that could have a more debate on this. But I do believe on kids that don't have that developed mind, it shows a negative kind of.
You would be surprised how into politics today's kids are. And also remember, this is the age group that's reading graphic novels and comic books. So this is actually how you would make a lesson more interesting to them, because it's presented in a format that many of them are familiar with. My daughter has very strong opinions, which I don't know where. I'll give you an example. So we're driving by. I wasn't driving. My wife and daughter are driving by. And there was like a Blue Lives Matter something on somebody's street, and my daughter like made a comment like ugh, like something like that, and my wife's like, why would you? Well, no, it's Blue Lives Matter, and my daughter's like disgusted by it. So settle down. But my wife's like, well, why would you do that? You know, they might have a police officer that's a family member there. They might have lost somebody. You know, these are the people that rushed into the towers 911. Why do you have that feeling? So these kids are aware of things that are going on, and it's up to the adults in their life to encourage discussion and find out why they feel the way they do. So this lesson plan might be completely suitable. Listen, I don't know. Here's what we can get from this is, first of all, they have not addressed how any of the black students felt about this. Maybe there are no black students in the class, but they might have a completely different feeling. That, for lack of a better term, gets completely whitewashed. Since we don't know, and Joe, I did think about the age thing, because that was my initial thought. I was like, well, is that too young? But then again, like I said, I had to reflect on my daughter, and now it's probably too young for some of the kids. You know, people are maturing at a different age. But you know what? It's what's going on. It's how you make social studies interesting. You know, you're presenting it in a format that they're used to. You're presenting, you know, history comes alive, so to speak. So you're making history more interesting, which is important. So listen, I think the teacher's fine. If the school board didn't like it, I'd be more willing to entertain that conversation. Not to get the teacher fired, but if the school board said, listen, we're getting complaints from the parents, I understand what you were doing, but we're not going to have them complete this, you can't do it. I'd be a little disappointed, but I'd be okay. Where I get upset is when the governor is weighing in on this, and when the vice president for the National Fraternal Order of Police, because those two people have much bigger fish to fry, or at least they should. This should be way below the, like, if I'm the governor and this comes to my go, Okay, okay, what's the superintendent say? Well, you know, they're going to have a meeting or they're not doing anything. I go, well, call the superintendent if you want to do something. Have them have a meeting. Have the parents come. Have a town hall about it. And it's a local subject. This is I'm trying to run our state over here. I can't worry about a cartoon. And if I'm the National Fraternal Order of Police, I go, all right, you know what? There's a lot of people that feel this way about it. How can I make it safer for my constituents, my police? Because I'll tell you what, if people look at my police as the enemy, they're not safe. That's less likely that they're going to go home to their family. What can we do? We need to.
Now, what if the cartoon had a police officer hugging his family goodbye? And then it shows him on the job. And then it shows some felon that's not complying with the law. And then has him trying to make a life or death decision, and then gets into a position where the only thing to resolve the situation is force. What would you feel about a cartoon like that?
Well, I mean, I personally don't have an issue with that cartoon. I just don't know how that fits into a lesson plan in social studies or satire. But as far as me personally, I don't have an issue with the cartoon. I know that's what the good police are doing. I got no problem with that at all. But I don't know what lesson you're teaching with this. The teacher. If we're giving the teacher the benefit of the doubt, the teacher had a lesson plan, there was an assignment. We don't know the teacher's point of view on this article. It's just assumed. The governor asserts that the teacher's anti-police. But we don't know that.
And that's like I said before, that's like, you know, why I only have my, you know, I have my sword sheathed is because I don't know what her lesson plan was, or the true thing on that. So it's like, to get passionate, you know, to have a mild debate, yeah, but to get really passionate as we sometimes do, I don't have enough, and I don't think you do either.
Here's my takeaway from this, because I feel in a local area this could be debated and let the town figure it out. I got no problem with that, but what I take from this is, the governor and the vice president, Grimaldi, they're grandstanders and snowflakes. That's what I take away from that. That's what I get. They're trying to make headlines. They're trying to grandstand and look good, and I lose all respect for them. But like I said, if the superintendent wants to get involved, if the parents are outraged, I don't think the teacher should be fired. But if the community does not want this type of satire being taught, okay, it's a local decision. I got no problem with that. You work for the local school district, that's fine. I got no problem with it, but that's not what's going on here.
Yeah, it's almost like obscenity laws, where if it gets in court, it's like, well, what it's based on the community standards. But then the debate comes up: well, what's the community standard? You know,
right?
And everything goes on.
This is a local conversation.
And teachers have to file their lesson plans, and if the Board of Education or, you know, her department head, and then the principal, the Board of Education had a problem with the lesson plan in the first place, then that's when the discussion should be held. Now, you know, parents saw it, but they didn't see the lesson plan. They didn't see the actual lesson, and there's always the opportunity to have the classroom discussion about perhaps one side of how this cartoon could be interpreted, and then have another lesson the next day or whenever with another presentation and have the kids decide. But trying to have these politicians and everybody stomp down the opportunity to have the discussion in the first place is what I object to.
And one final thing, and then we'll move on. The hypocrisy is just so sweet, because, you know, I'm assuming that the Fraternal Order of Police and Governor, I know Governor Abbott, are Trump supporters. So one of the things that we heard in the run up to 2016 is, we like Donald Trump. He says the things people are afraid to say. He tells it like it is. You could make the argument that this cartoon tells it like it is. I'm not saying it does or it doesn't, but or it's an uncomfortable truth, and you just have to deal with it. But the reality is, they can't. People only want to hear it like it is if it meets whatever their opinion is, left and right. And that's why so often we'll be doing stories, and I'll be coming down on the left. It's like, really? You're getting upset about this? I think we did one last week with the ice cream truck story. It's like, really? This is what you're worried about? You know, that's why I bring this up. You got to get out of your camps. You got to get out of your camp that says, oh, my side is always correct. We're always fighting the good fight. No! No, they're pandering to you. They are pandering to you. They don't really have any moral compass. You can see this. These people have no moral compass. At least with the Fraternal Order of Police. If I wanted to defend him, I'd go, well, he's defending his constituents. He loves his police. That's why he's outraged. That's the argument I could make if I wanted to defend the vice president of the Fraternal Order of Police. The governor, no. You love Donald Trump. You're a big Trump supporter. Donald Trump tells it like it is, we were told, and we've had that discussion enough times. You can't come down on this. You can't come down on it. They're a bunch of hypocrites. Like the hypocrites on the left, the hypocrites on the right. That's all. All right, let's move on. Let's move. I thought it was interesting, though. I thought it was, you know, we're doing a lot of cancel culture stuff. I thought there was a little bit more nuance with this one than a lot of the other stuff.
A little nuance, but like I was saying, I really couldn't dig in because we didn't see the lesson plan or whatever, you know.
I got to tell you, if my kid came home just with this cartoon, and I didn't know the lesson plan, I didn't know the class. My initial reaction would be I'd probably be upset by it. But if I was upset, I would contact the teacher and go, listen, my daughter came home with this cartoon. What is this about? What do you teach? And I would give the teacher a chance to explain. That's what adults do. That's what mature human beings do. If you have an issue, you go to the source. If I just saw the cartoon on its own, I'd be like, I don't want my daughter being taught to hate the police. But also, if I knew the historical context, which I did not really until I did some research, you know, I might be a little bit more upset. Once I know the historical context, you go, all right, the satire, they are making a point here. I see what
you know what, though? Here's the deal with us as being comics. Basically, you know, I would be the same thing. If my kid brought this on, I'm like, what is this shit? And get on the phone.
Right.
A lot of people don't like confrontation.
Yes.
So what they do is that they feel it's just better to like, well, I want this shut down without making a call or whatever. We're used to being comics. We don't have that wall of being afraid of confrontation. That's why if we're in a public space, we'll say stuff where other people just stand there. Why? Because we're used to doing it. We've broken that wall, like the public speaking thing. We're being outspoken in public. A lot of people, a majority of people, don't say anything. But us as conscious are fucking gig. So if in the supermarket you see something that's bullshit, but you say it's bullshit.
Also, people are lazy. It's just much easier to cancel the teacher. It's much easier to I don't like this.
Ask the question.
What?
I don't think it's a thing that they're lazy. I just don't think that they want it's just maybe their fear of being outspoken.
That's part of it. Listen.
I mean, we don't have a fear of being outspoken.
No, but that's part of it.
Show for 9 years.
But here's the problem with this country today. We immediately go from information to outraged. There's no steps in between. It's an outrage culture. And a lot of times, you know, we've made fun of the left. Oh, they're outraged. And the right is outraged. That's what this is.
I'll agree with that. Sure. Yes.
And what I'm saying is, once you get your initial outrage, the mature thing to do is go, okay, now let me look into this. I got my outrage. Before I call for the teacher's head, let me call the teacher. Now, if I get on the phone with the teacher and the teacher goes to me, well, I really don't like cops. All right, now I got a problem. Now I got to go to the superintendent.
Like you said, you know, from us being comics, for us doing this show, we'll see stuff like this and go, you've got to be kidding me. And then your second instinct takes over and goes, all right, everybody's got to slow down. We got to unpack and find out exactly what's going on.
Well, I mean, I've been in that position. I've been in that position with my school, with my kid's school, with her teachers and everything, where I've had to write my wife always makes me write the letters because she feels I'm a better writer. So I'm the one. You know why I'm a better writer? Because I've been kissing Booker's asses for years, trying not to hurt their feelings while I'm asking them why I'm not getting the money I'm supposed to.
And even if you get stuff at a volume, I mean, at the day program, I get tons of emails with stuff like that. And then I'll see a request from one of the factories, or one of the factories will answer me, and I'm like, "You've got to be kidding! I'm gonna." And then I actually print the email and read it. And I'm like, "No, they're cut. No, I get it. All right, that's a fair deal to cut." So it's like your initial rage, and then you sit, you unpack it, and then it's like, all right.
But see, that's what it is. We are a rage society. That's why you see so many. President Trump is a rage. He's a rage person. People follow his footsteps. Every little thing that crosses his head, he's outraged and he has to put on Twitter. He doesn't take a step back. Oh, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't tweet this. I'm the president. This is kind of I'm kind of influential. Maybe I should look into this a little bit more. No.
Captain, onto this?
Well, yeah, I'm a little slow.
You want to sit here and debate that now?
but we're such a rage culture, and people got to stop, and that's what this is. People have to stop being a bunch of Sallys. No disrespect to Sally. I know Karen's the name we make fun of now, but I wanted to get Sally in the mix.
We love to be outraged.
Yeah,
love it, can't get enough of it, and boy oh boy does the media and Facebook and everybody feed us a ton of that to keep
all right
well fed on that.
Speaking of outrage, and
returned to our Bartow County school today one day after a political confrontation reportedly turned physical. A fight broke out between two groups of students at Cass High School Wednesday morning after one group brought Trump flags to school and other students took offense. Bartow News and Emergencies posted this video to Facebook. Now, we're told things eventually got physical. There were also pictures circulating of another group of students with Biden flags, but it's unclear if they were involved in any sort of altercation. The school district later released a statement saying that it won't tolerate this type of behavior and that disciplinary action has been taken against all parties involved. The school's code of conduct bans students from expressing themselves in a manner that distracts from learning. We're told there were no incidents involving flags today, but the whole thing is causing a...
All right. So the old Trump flag. So now here's what the interesting part of this is. Should political speech now be viewed as something that takes away from learning? I mean, that's like... I mean, I think it really depends how it's used. I mean, because it could be a really great learning tool, although going right from flag to fist is not the best way to learn.
Flag to fist.
Flag to fist. That's my new porno. It's my new porno, flag to fist.
That's the worst farm to market ever.
It's flag to fist. It has a couple stars a couple fellers with very big hands who are very patriotic. But anyway... You know, listen, here's what I think they should do. I think what they should set up is like some political club and where you can have these conversations after school with people of all the different political factions, and you have a history teacher moderate it, and you know and you could give these people assignments, get them to look at things differently. That's how you really should do this. I mean, we've talked about it before. I've never seen this with any other president who's so divisive. You saw it today with Trump. With any other president, left or right, whenever there was a tragedy, it was always welcomed for the president to show up. I mean, you can't get more liberal than New York City. After 9/11, George W. Bush was viewed as a hero. When he came down there and stood in the rubble and says, "I hear you, and soon the whole world is going to hear you." You can't get more liberal than that. But we wanted George W. Bush to come. In South Carolina, in the church shooting, you can't get more conservative than South Carolina. But they wanted Obama to come. You know, in the Oklahoma bombing in the 90s, those people did not vote for Bill Clinton, but they wanted Bill Clinton to come. This guy is divisive, and I think people use his name to trigger the libs, to own the libs. I think that's what so much of this presidency and so much of the mindset is of his fans right now. I just want to own the other party, which is not a great way to have a society, by the way, because we're always going to have people that disagree. If you really just want to own the other people instead of trying to understand them and trying to work with them, then let's just call it a day now and fold up the country. But where I think if you had a political club where you could actually make steps forward, you go, all right, you could bring a Trump flag, you could bring a Biden flag. Who the hell's carrying a Biden flag? I haven't even seen a Biden flag. Okay, a Biden flag. Okay, you got one of four.
A childhood friend of his is making one. You remember Betsy Ross?
Wow. All right, that's very nice. I would like to own a Betsy Ross made Biden flag. That sounds fantastic. All right, so there's
that
one.
That sounds like something that in like the pawn shop in Las Vegas. You can actually get some dough for that.
Yeah, listen, I got to tell you something. You know, people are going to vote for Biden. There's not too many waving the Biden flag. You know,
I keep one in my purse at all times. What are you talking about?
Maybe you buy the Biden denture cream, or maybe the Biden diapers. And by the way, Trump's not too far away from that either. Don't get me wrong. That's where we are in this
country. No, I'm going to sit here and go, he's a spring chicken. No.
No, it's like all the candidates we could possibly have. We have two men in their 70s again.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, Christ.
But I feel like we are in a place where political speech is taking away from learning in a school situation. However, I feel the school uses as a teachable moment after they punish everybody. And by the way, if the Trump kids are just holding a flag, I don't know how much you're going to punish them. Obviously, if the ones who were triggered by it are the first one who threw the punch, they should have a stiffer penalty right there. You can't be throwing punches at shit. What do you think this is, America? But
that's the thing. You know, you have the Trump flag, and they're going to get violent. And yet, you have a teaching point with that, or the people that were involved with that. You're going to stay after school, or whatever, because we're going to have a mandatory thing, and we're going to teach you about politics and how politics works.
Yeah,
and do it that.
There's a lot that could be done besides punishment and banning. But I don't blame the schools for not wanting this stuff in the school. This was never a thing when I was in school. There was nobody walking around with Reagan shirts or George Herbert Walker Bush shirts or Bill Clinton shirts. That was never a thing. But this Trump thing, I think it's because he was an entertainer. I think that's what it is, and I think it's also because of part of the mindset of owning the other side. Like, I've never seen so many snowflakes that think they're macho waving a Trump flag. What a bunch of pussies. Really? You gotta drive through town shooting paintball guns? Really? There's nothing manly about playing paintball, alright? Listen, I'm not saying you should shoot real...
I was on a league.
Joe, it's good clean fun!
You desecrate the Red Devils.
Joe. It's good, clean fun, much like softball. It's fun to do. But me and my softball tights, or you and your paintball ammo gear, there's nothing manly about it. We're having fun. But you're not like, I'm a man, I'm playing softball. I'm a man, I'm playing soldier. No. Where's Joe going? Is Joe having technical issues again?
No, I think he's probably... What, is he leaving to go get his paintball gear? Suit up?
Joe's coming back in camo.
How dare you?
Oh, well,
how dare you?
Oh, Christ.
That's the creek, the Red Devil.
Oh, God.
Oh, here we go.
That is the gayest looking devil. That is the gayest looking devil. That devil looks like... I know you just sucked my dick.
He has the receipts.
Yes. We're in a bad place... where politics leads to fisticuffs, and I don't blame the principal and the superintendent if they don't want it in their school. But if I was them, I'd be like, "We're gonna."
I don't blame them either. And you brought up, you know, all kidding aside, you brought up a lot of valid points where they should be. It should be mandatory that there should be a class. I would have an assembly.
Yeah.
And go, you know, starting whatever we're going to have an assembly. You're required to go to a Zoom meeting just to have this up, because basically you could say, look. Fisticuffs is not the way to have a debate, okay? Let's grab side, let's have debate. We're all welcome, let's have debates the way they always had them. You know, getting each, the agenda, the platform out, and discussing that, and then deciding what platform is the best. This is the way it's done. You know, this is the way it was done. I mean, you know, the whole thing with political, political marketing or political debate, I mean, even through the 1800s, I mean, it was pretty bad. I mean, these guys would go to towns and meet together and go to town square. It got very nasty. It never came out to fisticuffs, but just that spirit of presenting the facts to your party and understanding why, instead of, you know, violence with a flag, you know, it would be the way to go. It's like you said before, and I highly agree, it's a teaching moment.
Yeah, I think you're also sending a bad message when you're just quieting political speech. I want people to be engaged, but I want them to be engaged intelligently. Now, I understand I am in the minority in this. I understand this. Nothing makes that more apparent than by talking to somebody or being on social media. But
yeah.
I like to think 9.5 times out of 10, our political disagreements are done somewhat intelligently with some nonsense thrown in. I'd like to think
we're not just having a discussion. We actually have a show going on at the same time. It's not like you're having a discussion with your neighbor at a picnic or at a bar or something. You know, it's also incredibly juvenile to treat it like, you know, yay, our team, we're going to show you, you know, like the smack talk, like you're talking about two football teams. What is this?
I'm sorry, I cut you off, Pip. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
There's a club up there that Davin and I worked at, and there was a club manager there, a guy named George, that was there. And George and I are on a very, very nice guy, don't get me wrong, but on very different ends of the spectrum. I posted a thing on Facebook where I was wearing my mask. I was in front of governors. And I clearly stated that governors has gone above and beyond exceeding the COVID-19 regulations for a restaurant or having people in there. And Governor Cuomo had overridden everything and wants clubs with live entertainment closed. And I don't feel that, you know, and that they've exceeded this. And it's not fair to the club, small business, or comedy. George laid into me, oh, well, just breathe over everybody. You could care less about people. You just want to breathe everything all around. You don't care. You know, why don't you take your mask off and just infect everybody? Totally not even addressing what I said and not listening to what I said. If I said, well, comedy is about laughing and we should just open the club. No. But if I'm saying there that they took all the steps and spent thousands upon thousands of dollars of meeting this, and the government just ambiguously said, nope, you got to close. You didn't listen to what I said. And if you did listen to what I said and had bullet points about what I said and you disagreed, then that's fine. I had a couple, you know, but just as you're not listening, you know. And that's what, you know, people just fly off the handle because they're in their camps embedded so much.
Yes. And I agree with everything you just said, Joe, except please don't use bullet points. but that's the point, is that people... Thank you. Bullet points, jeez. Not today. The thing is that people are not discussing them. They're hurt, they're angry, they're scared. There's civil unrest, there's political debate, and just like we're at loggerheads, and then we're in the middle of a pandemic. People are scared and upset, and sometimes, you know, the lizard brain takes over, and it's just like, fight or flight, and it's like, we're going to fight. And we're not having rational, civil conversations at the moment. I mean, it was unfortunate that he laid into you because I saw what you posted. And, you know, of course, we talk about it on the show. And I know where you are with this. And so he did unfairly attack you. But I think that I don't know this person at all. But it's sounding like it's coming from, you know, having so many conversations with other people. Because there is unfortunately, large segment of the population right now that's like, I don't want to wear a mask for whatever their reasons, but we're in a pandemic, and you understand that that's a selfish position at the moment, and a dangerous position. And so he's reacting to that.
Yes, so much so that he knows my political stance, but so much so he just, you know, oh, this Trump supporter, not even listening to what I'm saying, oh, it's just a Trump and a right wing, blah, blah. No. The county executive of Nassau wrote to Cuomo. She is a Democrat. There was two speakers there that were Democrats. So this wasn't this. He didn't even listen to me. Think it was a pro-Trump rally. No, it was something for a small business that complied by the rules. Said that we're going to exceed the rules. Open, had success. And the governor ambiguously said, oh, all businesses have to be shut down. It's not, like I said, you know, Lauren Curran is a Democrat, and she's the county executive. Wrote to Cuomo and said, I've been in the club. They are meeting and exceeding this. To do this is wrong. So for him to just, you know, right over the issue, you know. So I wrote him. I go, George, did you even hear what I said? And I left it at that because at that point, there's nothing I'm going to say or going to do. You know, that's just going to be his thought. It's going to be a militant thought, you know. And like I said, he's a nice guy.
All right, let's go back to Texas. Sure. Let's go back to another classroom in Texas, shall we, kids?
Okay.
Yeah.
A Texas school has reinstated a teacher put on administrative leave because she adorned her virtual classroom with Black Lives Matter and pro-LGBTQ posters, district official says. Taylor Lickfa, an English teacher at Roma High School, was pulled Sunday following complaints from parents about a background for her virtual classroom that featured a BLM poster, a rainbow flag, and a Spanish solidarity phrase. Lifka then posted a screenshot of her creation on social media and was put on leave after refusing to remove the signs just one day before the first day of online classes, the Texas Tribune reports. District officials announced Wednesday she had been reinstated following review of the matter. Roma ISD was happy to have the opportunity to better understand Ms. Lifka's viewpoints and welcome Ms. Lifka back to the classroom. The district stands behind the concepts of equality and inclusivity. Roma Independent School District Superintendent Carlos Guzman said he regrets that the virtual posters became a point of controversy at a school in the border town of 11,000 residents. It was never the intention of the district to indicate anything less than full support for the concepts of equality and student safety, Guzman said in a statement. As educators and community members, Roma ISD has an obligation to carefully listen to parent concerns and respond to them, taking into consideration the rights of employees and students. District officials said they told Lifka Tuesday she was no longer on administrative leave, that she'll be able to keep her original graphic for her virtual classroom as she initially planned. She's being allowed that opportunity, provided that the use of the virtual classroom background space in this distance does not come to overtly disrupt or detract from the educational process or the learning environment. So no gay pride parades in the middle of her virtual classroom. Lifka, meanwhile, told NBC News she learned during a Zoom call Wednesday that district officials were reversing their decision. They say I haven't been punished, and that's fine, but at the same time, I'm a human being, and this has been challenging. To think about re-entering the classroom tomorrow gives me a lot of pause because I need a moment to collect myself. You're re-entering your living room. Settle down. You're re-entering
your... Yeah, really, lighten up. All right, I'm glad you said that, because I was... Relax, lady.
my couch is very intimidating.
Yes, it's... Right. I mean, real... come on.
I got a comfort end table. Shut up.
A school administrator told Lickfa residents in the small town were not ready for some of her progressive views. Oh my God. I need support from the administration knowing I can re-enter the classroom and that we're all on the same page on what I can and cannot say to my students. You didn't say anything. It was a stupid picture. More than 33,000 people had signed an online petition as of Friday demanding Lifka's reinstatement. Please sign the petition to let the school district know that inclusivity and acceptance are not taboo ideas that deserve censorship. I gotta tell you, obviously I'm more on the liberal side, but as a parent, is that what I'm making a phone call about? Is that what I'm so enraged about? Really? Can we start school? Can we have a bad lesson first? Can there be a police with the knee on a black person's cartoon for me to get outraged about first? Do we have to start with day one for an LGBTQ Black Lives Matter poster?
Wait a minute now. Those liberals have co-opted the rainbow for their liberal agenda, and I don't want to see I don't want to walk into the kitchen and see my child on the laptop looking at those queer rainbows everywhere and think that woman is allowed to say that God-fearing house. You understand me? This is a Christian home, and I don't want to see any of that, including this and included that. We don't include that in my house, mister.
You know what I would say? I would say, why the hell did you leave the kitchen? Your place is in the kitchen. Get to cooking them vittles, woman.
I feel that you just should leave her personal views off and just teach the fucking class.
I get that. That's fair.
Teach the fucking class.
You know what? It's a public school, and public is for everybody, and this is inclusivity. Listen, if she got up there and started preaching, you know what? Everybody should have a gay experience. That's what I think we should be done. Make sure you slam Jimmy in the cornhole, all right, Bobby? No. If she was doing that, I would agree with you, Joel.
But still, you know, you're doing your job, and it should be neutral. Listen, I'm going to bring it up again. I changed my, you know, I said, look, before we do the show, I go, I'll be right back. I just got to change my shirt. I'm wearing a Plansky shirt. I don't want to be wearing that. I don't want to be wearing a Plansky shirt because I don't want any view that I have, even though it's during this show, I don't want to have any view that I have being represented, you know, by the Plansky emblem because it's not represented of my day gig. And I keep it neutral. And I feel that she just should keep her views neutral. Just teach the fucking students, you know?
Listen, like I said, I see her point of view. She's just trying to make it inclusive. Just trying, because you know what? Let's be honest. When we were in school, if you were gay, you could not come out and say that you were gay.
No.
So it probably would have been very welcome.
Yeah, but everybody knew.
Yes.
Yo,
yes.
Yeah. But yeah. That was the problem because those kids got tortured.
Yeah, we just pretended that they really liked art and were bad at sports. Yes, we all knew.
Yeah, I mean, they knew that. So we knew, but the thing was that didn't give people the right to bully them and torture them.
No, this is better.
At least something that we're starting to come towards. Is that, you know what? Everybody has to be able to live their life. That. Human life, all human life is important.
Yeah, I'll give an example from my life. So the reason my daughter went to Hebrew school was because she's in public school. It was always all Christmas stuff. There really wasn't any Hanukkah stuff. So, and not that she was excluded, but she didn't feel included. This is kind of the same way. So maybe I wouldn't have had to take my daughter to Hebrew school and dealt with that aggravation and the racist rabbi if they just would have thrown up a couple menorahs. That's all I'm saying, Joe. Throw a dreidel on the board. If they just would have had a dreidel in the classroom, I don't have to spend all this money on bat mitzvahs. I don't got to deal with a racist rabbi. I don't got to go to all these different Hebrew schools. It's inclusivity.
But the thing about it is, I mean, when I was in school, we always, you know, around Christmas, I mean, Hanukkah was represented. You know, he would have dreidels up. We'd have potato pancakes. You know, I love potato pancakes. How good are they?
They're delicious. That's more basically. My daughter was the Hanukkah representation. You know, my wife would like make latkes to bring in and everything. So they were trying. But I'm telling you, her perception. Now, this was not high school, but her perception was, I feel excluded, even though the school did nothing wrong. The school was not trying to exclude her, but
How many Jewish kids were in the school?
Not a ton. Not a lot.
All right. Maybe it was different down the island.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up with a lot of Jewish people. So
yeah, a lot of plastic surgeons on the island, so there's a lot of Jews.
Yes. I learned the Hanukkah song when I was in choir in elementary school because we're trying to be inclusive and represent both Christmas and Hanukkah. So it's like I knew about Judah Maccabee, and I'm not a Jew.
But that's
a,
but
you know,
yeah,
so
I know the dreidel, the lyrics to the dreidel song. I didn't Google. I learned them.
But basically, as a Jewish kid, it was just the dreidel song. Listen, I felt it too. Like I was kind of ashamed to be Jewish growing up. You know,
slow down. I'm curious about something. What do you mean ashamed to? And I'm curious. What do you mean ashamed to be Jewish? Why?
Well, you know, Joe, after you get called Jew bag a few times, you don't want to. You don't really want to volunteer that so much. You know, I mean, it was. You know, listen, and it's still in a lot of places. But you were made to feel. You were made to feel different. So that's why I can. This is a listen. If this was a Catholic school and the and there was complaints, I go, all right, I get it. It's a private school. We have our own code of conduct. You know, Catholicism, blah blah blah. I get it. This is a public school, man. It should be inclusive. Now listen, you could make the argument, well, if you're going to have a Black Lives Matter thing, maybe you should have something supporting the police as well. I'm certainly open to that argument. And I would not Blue Lives Matter because we've already talked about that. The Black Lives Matter thing is special.
The thing about it is you know, showing it through lessons and stuff like that, and giving a presence that everybody's inclusive. I mean, she's just flat out jamming this down everybody's throat.
No, she's not. It's in the back. It's in the back room background of her class, of her virtual. It's her green screen. That's all it is.
Yeah, I still feel it that she's jamming it down everybody's throat.
I don't think so. Listen, like I said, if she's standing there on her kitchen chair pontificating about all this stuff, that might be a little much for an English class. But you know what? Those little gestures make a big deal. They go a long way for kids. In high school, you're so confused. The hormones are raging and everything. You don't know. You're trying to figure out who you are. I support it, man. Listen, it's hard to be a kid. And, you know, and kids are more isolated now than ever because they're all on their devices, and now we got the COVID. So if it helps break down the walls, if a kid who's having problems can now confide in this teacher is now one more person that this kid has to go to, I'm all for it. There's no harm. And again, is this what I want to call about? Is this why I'm picking up the phone or sending an email? It's like there's so much more shit to be worried about. I don't understand.
You know what, though? I would complain. I'd be complaining about it.
What would be your specific complaint?
I just teach the fucking class and leave your opinions to you. You don't need to hang your opinions on your background.
I think you might have a different view of it if you were a parent and saw these kids because it takes you back. And you remember, you were always a white guy, you were Christian and everything. You never really had to do it.
No, I was a black Jew. You better do your research, my friend.
I thought I saw you on the subway platforms. Jews for Jesus. That's where Joe the Jew for Jesus. That's how it is. Three J's.
So Joe is trans.
Yes, Joe's trans. Now, I mean, listen, if you are dealing with these kids, it kind of brings you back to how tumultuous that time was, especially if you were an outsider. And I remember, and I've talked about before, I was not nice. I wasn't a complete asshole, but I mean, you know, I was kind of a dick to some of the gay kids. Not overtly bad, but I was not I was not now where I would just go, oh, all right, that's cool. I was not that refined, you know, in high school. So,
Well, you know what? A lot, it was not spoken of as much. It wasn't out. You know, I did a lot of theater, so do the math.
Yeah.
And going forward, you know, it's like I've known a lot of gay and lesbian people and had friends, but the thing is that it wasn't something that people talked about in high school because, you know, the bullying was not an issue then. I mean, it was an issue. It wasn't something that people talked about or something that people said was a negative thing. They were just like, suck it up and take your beating. And that was, you know, the troglodyte version of how, you know, Lord of the Flies version of how to get through school. And this is just being more inclusive and saying, you know what, we're not like that anymore. Everybody's welcome here. And I don't have a problem with that.
Let's say, for example, all righty then, you can have that in the background. Now, let's say there was another teacher, Mr. Smith. Now, Mr. Smith, on his background, has a picture of Trump, the Pledge of Allegiance, One Nation Under God. What would you say?
I think the Pledge of Allegiance and One Nation Under God is fine. I think that's fine. Mm-hmm. I think if you're going to have Trump, you got to have Biden too. And that's kind of like I said with the Black Lives Matter. You know, my argument would be like, well, let's have something pro cop in that background too, if you really want to.
All right, Blue Lives Matter. Blue Lives Matter.
Blue Lives Matter isn't the best way to do it. You know, we support our police or something, or you know, something police positive. If you want to balance it out. But nothing triggers like Trump does. So you would really have to offset that. But I would expect a flag.
But when I was in high school, when I was in elementary school, I had our teacher, Principal Mr. Green, and in Mr. Green's office was a picture of Nixon.
Yeah, yeah. No, but that was in the principal's office.
Our president.
Yeah, you know what though? You know, I'm hearing that, and I remember the same thing too, because I remember Reagan being up. I'm hearing that.
Because he was our leader of our country. Better than our president.
So then it would be like, are you doing that for, do you do that with every president? Is that your policy with every president? Then you go, yeah, I do that for every president. Go, all right, that's what the person does. I get that. But
that's fine. That's fair.
But if you're just if you're just doing it because you're a Trump supporter, that's a little different. Then you're just because this guy triggers people, like we just covered in the story before. This guy pushes buttons. He does it. His followers do it. So it's a little different. I would have both. But if you're putting up,
I still say he's the president of the United States.
But that's fine. If you're putting up every president, you know, I've been a teacher for 8 years. I had Obama. Now I have Trump. Then if I made that phone call and the teacher said that, I'd go, oh, okay, I got it. That's cool. I wouldn't make that phone call because I'm not a moron. But you know, that's fine.
If it's a picture of. If it's a picture of the president, it's not Trump 2020.
Yes.
Now you're getting political. But if it's just a picture of the president,
yeah.
and like our flag, and
that's fine.
But yeah. I mean, I take another tactic with all the our nation under God and bringing God into every time we're talking about the state, because it's like, why does God only bless the United States? I personally take issue with all of that.
Every country think God's blessing them. Honestly, he don't give a shit. God don't care.
I know.
But every country thinks that God's looking out for them. Really? Because I'll tell you what, if God's looking out for us, what, he take a snooze? Because he's kicking our ass right now between hurricanes and wildfires.
God is sore as hell. You know?
Yeah. so maybe
it's like up in heaven. It's like, hey God, why are you doing the plague and all that? Why don't you do some locusts? Oh, okay, Mr. 1BC. Yeah.
Why don't you do some locusts? I'll see you one better. How about some murder hornets? Would you like some murder hornets?
Well, in other parts of the world, he did bring out the locusts this year. So you know what? There's no stopping every plague from coming.
At this point, when we say one nation under God, Satan's like, could it get any worse? Maybe you guys want to come over here. Maybe you want to be one nation under Satan. How much worse could it be? He's got a point.
It's just like one nation under God.
Because let's be honest. If I was a customer and God was the business, I'd look to take my business elsewhere at this point. I'm not really so happy right now.
I'm shopping.
Well, he's been sore as hell lately. You know, he's trying to kill us. He's trying to kill California.
Yeah. He's trying to kill everybody.
He hates California. He's trying to roast them. You know, there'll be an earthquake soon because I think the fires aren't doing enough. He's like, shit. All right. San Andreas falls apart.
The only one who is not trying to kill is Donald Trump. Donald Trump just eats all that fried chicken, raw dogs, porn stars. You can't kill him. The rest of us is up for grabs. But Donald Trump, maybe he's God's favorite. I don't know. Maybe God was a big fan of The Apprentice. I don't know.
I don't know, but you know what? Screw the hydroxychloroquine. I want a sample of whatever, you know, protections he has. Give me that shot.
He's God's favorite.
Is that guy still living after all that?
Well, at least he's the only guy that can stare at a solar eclipse and nothing happens. So, you know.
Oh, by the way, I just want to point something out. I'm just going to take us back to the last story briefly. We didn't touch on that nobody was wearing a mask in that school, and they said that it wasn't mandated.
I know. Holy crap.
Are we surprised?
And it's like, don't you have bigger fish to fry?
Yeah.
Well, yes, but I mean, that's why these schools are opening up and closing, because, you know, Les, I don't want to get in the whole mask thing. I think we do it every week.
No, I said keep it brief. Listen, just a quick overview.
Listen, that's why we're doomed. I say it every week. You know, these politicians will get up there, and these pundits on TVs, the pundits do it too. I think Americans are smart enough to realize, no, we're not. Whatever it is, we're not smart enough. Whatever it is, if you give us Neapolitan ice cream, we can't figure out it's chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry. We're going to put pistachio in there somewhere. We're not that bright. They got to stop. I need a politician and a pundit to go, not for nothing, we're a bunch of idiots. Then I go, all right, maybe we should learn a little bit more. But they keep on kissing our ass, and people believe that we're smart. We're not smart. I'm the only difference between me and the rest of the rabble is I'm smart enough to know I'm a moron. That's the only difference.
I'm smart enough to know I'm a moron.
Yes!
Right. And if you two forget, I'll remind you.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you. But yes, I'm also smart enough to surround myself with assholes that'll let me know when they disagree. I don't need my tushy powder with a my pillow. It's okay.
Hey! How dare you talk about your staff like that?
My what?
Your staff.
Oh, all right. Listen. But yes,
I'll powder your ass, Davin, if you really insist.
I do.
Listen,
we're all going to die sooner than we would have because we're idiots, or we're surrounded by idiots. That's just the reality of it. And this president, whether you love him or hate him, he's an idiot too. I've been saying it for so long. Constantly. If you're pro police, don't compare their job with a professional golfer missing a 3-foot putt. A little respect for the men in blue with the badge. What happens if you miss a putt? You still bang your model wife at the end of the day. Whereas if you screw up in the line of fire, you could go to jail. You could get killed. It's a little different. All right, enough. All right, but we're idiots.
and I don't think he gets to bang her. I really don't.
No. I said the golfer.
The golfer. Oh yeah.
The golfer.
Okay.
If you miss the 3-foot putt, you still get to bang your model wife. Whereas,
if the cop
quote unquote chokes, he could die. He could be prosecuted. Further proof that we are idiots led by an idiot. I can't take it anymore. I just want intelligence. That's why I like Pete Buttigieg so much, because I knew he was so much smarter than me. That's really what I want.
You're looking for a perfect world. The world is so. Let me tell you something. If everything went perfect and according to plan, I can go home at 11 o'clock every day. Yeah. I mean, it's just a simple process. You write an order, you place it, it ships, the invoice goes. Yeah, well, that doesn't fucking happen.
I mean, it would be really nice if that's all that we had to do. But I agree with Davin. I just want somebody smarter than me to run things. Can't that happen? Don't we have anybody that's smart
that can run things? No.
I'm right here.
And we're never going to, because anybody with any brains doesn't want the fucking job.
My wife will not let me run. She doesn't want the aggravation. Otherwise, I'm right here. I'm willing to serve. You want somebody who tells it like it is? My fellow Americans, you're morons. Knock it off. Read. Rosenblatt, 2024.
You're going to use that background as your State of the Union address?
Why not? Why not? My vice president Pip sneezed all over it. That's why it's green.
Well, you know what? We can project anything we want on that, so I'm starting to think.
I mean, really, I mean, talk about tells it like it is. This guy don't tell it like it is. I'll tell it like it is. I'd be like, knock it off. Stop it, you idiots. Stop hitting each other. It's not worth it. Stop it.
He's touching me.
Stop it. Stop burning shit.
You're going to get up there and scold people? Now Cuomo's going to get upset. You're working on his turf.
Yeah. Listen, Cuomo's done a good job, except for the thing with the clubs. I'm with you on that. The outside entertainment, I'm with you on that. But yes, we need a scolding. We can't be left to our own devices anymore. We can't be trusted. And I'm not saying
we need a nanny
state like Bloomberg to tell me how much soda we can drink. No, that's a little much. But sometimes you need a president to give you a reality check. Oh, listen, we are failing. Things suck. Here's my plan for things to get better, but it don't work unless you do your part. No more is your sacrifices consist of going shopping or sitting on the couch watching Netflix. You're an American. You're expected to do some things. The generations before us sacrificed everything for their neighbor. Sacrifice everything for the country. Get off your fat ass with all the dimples in it. This is what you're going to do for your country. Now, it might not be popular, but it'd be popular with some people.
Better work on that concession speech while you're at it.
Yeah, well. Concessions. Yeah, my concession.
I'm sorry.
He said I have a dimply ass. I don't like the bad man.
You know what?
Yep.
You know what the concession speech would be? I'm moving to Canada. You're on your own, suckers.
Not as easy as people think it is.
To move to Canada? No, especially with a passport that won't get you anywhere. That's another issue.
Oh, great. From Ward's house, the President of the United States.
Yeah, man, we need somebody to tell us that we're screwing up. I mean, listen, I don't, you know, I don't. Why do Americans need their asses pouted so much? American exceptionalism. Other generations were quite exceptional. I will give you that. We put men on the moon. We beat communism. We beat back Nazism. Damn straight we were exceptional. Now, mediocre at best.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's reality, man. Yeah, right. I don't need my ass powdered. That's why I'm so hopeful for these kids. My daughter and her friends are smart. I just hope they're motivated to do something with their lives. Because I sure as hell am not going to. We've already established that. But
I'm putting the powder away then.
Yeah, well, put away the powder. No, but I mean... you know, and that's another thing. I've said this before, too. You know, at the conventions, they go, the great state of New Jersey, the great state of New York. Is every state really that great? I mean, really? Is Arkansas really fantastic? It's not that great. How about the other state, Arkansas? Okay. You know, how about that? You know, some states are great. Some states, or the great state for us for citrus, Florida. You know, if you want to talk up what they're great at. Fine, but overall, Florida's not great. They're great at citrus, you know.
Great state of New Jersey, who brought you Schnooky and the Turnpike, represents. It's like not pumping one's own gas.
At least I could determine it like it is.
The great state of New York, who gives you the best deli. Okay, I'm on board.
Okay.
Who gives you, the great state of New York, who gives you a bagel and a schmear. All right. We're being honest now.
I'm actually getting excited about that now, you know, this kind of convention. I'm hungry, too.
But because unless your state actually has something to brag about, that's why I like that it was Rhode Island during the Democratic Convention. They were bragging about, the calamari. All right. I didn't even know Rhode Island was big for calamari. But you're bringing something to the table. Now I have an interest. Just a generic great state? I don't believe you. You're full of shit. I've driven through your state. I've met your people. Not great at all. Below average. Below average.
But you know what? And also, a little trivia: New York is the second biggest for calamari. But what the hell else is Rhode Island going to talk about? They're as big as a fucking master closet, you know? I mean, what the hell are they going to talk about?
Well, a great state to drive through.
The Great White Tour.
Sure, it's a hot concert.
The state where Great White burnt the club to a crisp.
Well, there you go.
Calamari. We're going to have to go with calamari.
All right. But still, at least they're trying, Joe. When nobody else is trying, it stands out. If other states had other things to brag about, then you can mock. But at least they're trying. That's enough. We got to stop powdering everybody's ass. I mean, this guy was supposed to tell it like it is. He's the biggest snowflake there is. I want somebody who's really going to tell it. And then you tell him like it is. He goes, okay, you got a point. I am an asshole. I was a little soft. That's fine. Then you go, all right, well, at least he knows now.
Now we can do shots together and get some work done.
I can't imagine being so insecure and doing this show with you two jackals. I can't imagine.
Well, you would have big puncture marks on your jugular and your belly because we would go right for the soft spots.
Can you imagine if any of us were a shrinking sensitive violet doing the, you'd last half an episode.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God! Oh God Almighty! I've been in the construction and entertainment business since '78. There's nothing you can say or do that's going to hurt my feelings.
And I've tried. Some say he's dead inside. I think there's still a little glimmer, and I'm going to put it out.
I when I first started, because I hadn't been doing stand-up in a while, you know, there were times during the show where I would get my little fee-fees hurt, but I would suck it up, I would process after the show and go, come on, don't be a baby, you know what this is about.
Good girl.
And I got a harder shell.
Good
and
girl.
And, you know, carried on.
And you knew all of our criticisms and critiques were done of a place of, you need to fucking know this about yourself. You knew that.
When we used to do the show at Anthony's house, you saw all the stuff coming through the chat. Not highly complimentary. I'll never use that on a resume.
No.
Wow, yeah, no, but, no. I was not exactly at my best, according to our fan base there.
Those were not valid critiques, though. That was just being mean. All right.
That was just cruelty.
let, let,
People on Reddit, I was with Dennis, my buddy Dennis, and I were going to see a concert one night. We're coming home, and we're talking about Anthony's show, and we're like, boy, those Reddit people are fucking horrible. I go, thank God they don't say anything about me. And Dennis is like, really? And showed me about 25 non-complimentary things, you know?
Yeah.
And I wish I could get on. There was one guy that wrote something, Joe Curry is totally and utterly forgettable. And I wanted to write back and go, so let me tell you something. Why did you write back the next day? Apparently I left an impression.
Exactly.
So much so that he felt moved to comment about you. So it's like,
you fucking wrote something about me. I complained. If I was forgettable, you wouldn't have wrote anything because you wouldn't have forgotten.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Reddit poster's not always the brightest. All right, let's move on. Let's try to educate the people some more. We'll do a little scam busters. Tell you about the contact tracing scam. I didn't even know this was a scam. But of course, if it can be a scam, there'll be a scam about it. So one of the crucial tools for controlling the spread of the coronavirus, as we know, is contact tracing, which means they track down people who may have been exposed to COVID-19 and encourage them to quarantine. So if we all hung out at a party and I came out and I got COVID-19, they would contact Joe, they would contact Pip, then they contact the people that, then Pip has to get tested, and they have to contact the people that she's been in contact, so on and so forth. That's what contact tracing is. Contact tracing scams are on the rise, according to the Department of Justice and the Department of Health and Human Services and the Federal Trade Commission. States such as California and Montana, where scams have reportedly occurred, also issued other warnings to residents. So a contact tracer will call you, email you, or text you, and you have to respond. It's really your duty, kind of like filling out the census. It's like if you get contacted, you have to participate. According to the Federal Trade Commission, contact tracing is the process of identifying people. Yeah, I just explained that. A contact tracer is the person who carries out the process. Tracers are usually hired by a state's Department of Public Health. If a person becomes infected with COVID-19, the contact tracer will get in touch with them to collect names and phone numbers of everyone that person potentially exposed. That information is then updated in an online database where they keep track of your every move and put a chip in your head and know everything you're doing. Stop that! Don't touch that! There's kids in the house! If you were exposed to the coronavirus, though, through close contact with an infected person, a contact tracer may call you. It's common for the health department to reach out by text first and let you know to expect a phone call. Once the contact tracer calls and collects the information they need from you, they may offer to enroll you in a text message program that sends alerts and reminders until your 14-day quarantine period is up. Because contact tracing is crucial for identifying potentially infected people and slowing the spread of the coronavirus, it's important to answer a contact tracer's message. I'm just gonna lower that real quick. Although I did enjoy hearing the yeah, I'm not going to lie. Let's see. The Center of Disease Control and Prevention emphasized engagement of the public with case investigators and contact tracers must be widely accepted in order to protect friends, family, and community members from future potential infections. But there are scams out there. According to the FTC, there are certain types of information that a contact tracer will never request. If any of the following situations arrive when dealing with a contact tracer, it's probably a scam. So if they ask you to click on a link, and we've talked about links at times, you got to be really careful when you get like an email or a text about clicking on a link. Most often, contact tracers will get in touch with you via phone call. However, you may also receive an email or text. They really should have one way of doing that. That would really be much better.
Yeah, it would be much simpler if people knew what to expect.
But I guess not everybody has a cell phone still or an email address, especially a lot of the seniors, right. So I get it. However, these text communications are only to let you know that a phone call is coming, according to the FTC. One sign of a scam is a text message that requests the recipient to click a link. Any request to click a link should be treated with suspicion, said Matthew Fisher, an attorney who specializes in HIPAA and data privacy at the law firm Myrick O'Connell. The same goes for emails. If you're prompted to click on a link, enter credentials, or download any items, it's a huge red flag. Don't download anything. Don't download nothing. It's going to be a dick pic of a contact tracer. You don't want that. People should approach. he's making contact with his hand. Oh, I don't like this at all. People should.
Oh no, he's grabbing the lotion. Oh no.
It's, well, you know, it's antibacterial. People should approach all unsolicited emails with caution, especially ones that request the user to act, said Sherard DeGrippo, Senior Director to Threat Research and Detection at Proofpoint. She said cyber criminals will attempt to spoof email addresses and create fake websites with stolen branding from legitimate organizations to better fool people and get them to act. We talk about this all the time. DeGrippo recommended that if an email appears to come from a legitimate source, hover your mouse over an embedded link. If the link address looks weird or doesn't take you to an official site, don't click on it. You can also just go to the site directly by typing the official site. That's the best thing you should do. You should Google what the official site of whatever agency is, and almost always .gov, and then you click on it.
That's a key thing too, because sometimes you get these erroneous emails wanting you to go something, and you look like your email account to Apple or somebody is up and stuff like that, and it's like, this website doesn't make any sense. You know, you just immediately put it into junk. So you got to look at it, and then you actually have to Google it. Yeah.
Also, legitimate emails and sites usually do not have major spelling mistakes or poor grammar, so check the wording and layout before doing anything. You know, we talked about with the Forex scam. That was one of the red flags.
Yeah.
I mean, they have proofreaders, although, to be fair, a lot of our standards have fallen when it comes to that stuff too. But overall, you know, the spelling errors and grammatical errors should be very, very limited if there's any.
Right.
If something looks off, then don't click, open, or enter any personal information. Contact tracing is a free service performed by state and local governments and the employees they hire. There is never any money exchanged between you and contact tracers and the people they contact. So this is free. You don't have to pay anything. And, you know, if they ask for, and we've talked about this, money, including cash, gift cards. You don't need an Amazon gift card to get contact traces. You don't need iTunes for contact tracing. I mean, we laugh, but only because we cover this all the time.
Right, and it's like, if you watch this show and you listen to us and you think for any reason that you should be giving a gift card to anybody that's like a government agency, please, you're not listening carefully enough.
Although they can't.
No, they should say, well, we collect them and give them away at the Christmas party.
Sure. also, they're not going to ask you to wire transfer or make cryptocurrency payments. Don't do any of that. Even though contract tracers need to ask you some basic details, such as your phone number, there's no need to collect sensitive information, such as account numbers or your social security number. See, the social security number, that's interesting. I would not know that because you think, oh, it's an official government site. But they're saying, no, we just need to be able to get in touch with you via phone so you can keep us updated and we can update you. So that's very important. A legitimate contact tracer does not want or need account information, as that does not have a connection to infection risk. If they ask for this type of personal information, they're likely attempting to steal your identity. Your immigration status has nothing to do with tracking of the spread of COVID-19. That means a contact tracer will never ask about it. If they do, you can bet it's a scam, the FTC writes. Though it's important to answer contact tracer's call or cooperate with their instructions, you're right to treat any unknown call with suspicion. If you're unsure about the person on the other end of the line, request their name and identification number and phone number so you can call them back after verifying who they are with your local health department. If you believe you've been contacted by a scammer, you should report it to the Federal Trade Commission or the Attorney General or Consumer Protection Agency in your state. Any of those recipients will be well-versed in handling complaints related to potential scams. So that's some good information there.
Yeah, really, because, you know, it's very important in this pandemic that people respond to the contract tracers without, you know, hesitance or without holding back, because that's one of the tools that we're using to keep this under control and to get our numbers down. But the other thing is that they need to not be afraid that they're going to be taken advantage of. So knowing what to do and what you should give up and what you don't need to give up is really important.
Right. Yeah, very well said. Very well said. Because basically,
Thank you.
Is a situation like if you have a regular scammer, somebody selling in the air, you know, they're asking questions, you have to be leery. But these people need to ask legitimate questions. So it's good to have a guidepost of what is legit that they're asking and what is a scammer trying to get out of it.
Yeah, I mean, if you were, you know, near somebody that maybe you didn't know, And, you need to be contacted so that you know that you should go get tested and that you should quarantine, because how else are you supposed to find out in some of these circumstances? I mean, you might hear word of mouth, oh, my God, that, you know, three people are sick at that party that we went to. Yeah. But it might have been in a supermarket. It might have been, you know, who knows? So, you know, let these people do their job. Just be smart about it.
Especially with the elderly. I can't really go into detail right now, but Davin was helping me with a couple of things over the weekend and stuff like that. And the person I know is getting scammed and sent a check out. And they're like, well, they were, you know, they seemed like they were, you know, friends and, you know, and because he needed the help. So what they do is they put fear. A lot of the elderly get a fear that they're going to lose their house. They're going to lose something if they don't send this person a check. So the elderly especially will, anything you ask, they'll give you.
That's not true. I've asked Donald Trump for many things and he doesn't give me anything. And I asked Joe Biden and he doesn't give me anything. I keep on asking the elderly. I'm not getting bupkis.
Yeah. Call the White House. Or call Biden's basement.
He's not taking my calls. He don't want to talk to me.
For example, I'm hungry right now. If I walk down the street to the old guy down the street and ask for a sandwich, he's not handing it out.
Yeah, yeah. Joe Payne.
I've tried.
Joe paints an altruistic picture of the seniors, but I don't agree. All right. Let's do an outstanding display of spite.
There's one thing that unites the three of us on Davin's Den. It's an outstanding display of spite. In lieu of that, we'd like to introduce Outstanding Displays of Spite.
All right, and these two geriatrics are your President of the United States, Donald Trump, and your Democratic candidate, Joe Biden. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden unveiled a new campaign website on Thursday using a slogan associated with President Donald Trump, KeepAmericaGreat.com. I wonder if you got .tv and .net and all the other ones that they try to give you, and .us.
.tv, all those.
Biden shared the site as the president was giving his formal acceptance speech to cap the Republican National Convention, during which Trump warned of an end to American exceptionalism should voters choose Biden and unseat him in November. See? He's lying to us. Exceptionalism? What are we exceptional at? Being infected right now. We're exceptionally infected. We are leading the league in infections. We're exceptional. Biden used the website to call out Trump's promises made, promises kept slogan. By the way, it's a good slogan. As far as slogans go, I mean, I don't agree with it, but it's a good slogan. Promises made, promises kept. That's a great re-elect me slogan. Trump isn't looking for a second term. He's looking for a do-over, the site reads. I don't know about that. I don't know.
I don't know about that either.
Make a
mulligan. I don't know what that means.
Make a mulligan great again. No. He didn't.
I tell you though, that thing, promises made, promises kept, sounds like a Def Leppard song. Do you think Joe Elliott wrote that?
Oh, that's pretty good,
like
Joe.
It.
That's pretty good. I could see that. Promises made, promises kept. I could see that. Yeah. That's good. Okay. Whatever that album will be called, but by the time they tour, you know, in 5 years when we can see them again. Anyway.
Joe Elliott can count on something. He'll get my fucking money. Like,
he's already got your money. We just didn't go to the concert.
Yeah, that's true.
So he's looking for a do-over, the site reads. Here's how Trump's record stacks up against the promises he made to the American people. The campaign goes on to list the Trump administration's response to the coronavirus pandemic, noting some 180,000 people in the U.S. have died from COVID-19. They're going to have to keep on upping that. That's going to have to be like one of them tickers, like the deficit. That's going to have to keep on rolling. The website also targets what Biden calls the president's a cruel immigration policy. Wasn't that called a cruel summer? Wasn't that what he rolled out in 2017? A cruel summer? Wasn't that the campaign? No. Anyway.
I think that's Bananarama.
Yeah, well, they covered it. Yeah.
the band was called Trumparama.
Trumparama. A Trumpalama ding dong. Anyway, the website also targets... calls the president's cruel immigration policy and embrace of dictators and authoritarian strongmen around the world, while linking to Trump's public statements on such issues. And no, Mexico's not paid for the wall, it adds. That's on layaway. The wall's on layaway, Joe Biden. Settle down. They're going to pay for it. They just can't pay for it right now. That's why we need a second term. It's like when you used to go to Sears. You couldn't get the lawnmower. You wanted the lawnmower now, so we'll give you the lawnmower, but it hasn't been paid for. We'll get there. You'll get Forget the pesos.
It's on layaway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Layaway. Wall away. It's wall away. That's what it is. Everybody's jumping the gun. Be a little patient, people. Trump defended his first term in office on Thursday, saying he had done nothing but fight for Americans, pointing to his efforts to build the wall along with southern border with Mexico and be the nation's law and order president. There's a lot to talk about there, but we won't be doing it now. I did what our political establishment never expected. Now, that's the fucking truth. I will give him that. He certainly has blown a lot of minds and could never forgive. Breaking the cardinal rule of Washington politics, I kept my promise, he said from the White House grounds. He went on to challenge Biden's record on politics. We spent the last 4 years reversing the damage Joe Biden inflicted over the last 47 years. Biden's record is shameful. Roll call of the most catastrophic betrayals and blunders in our lifetime. Great blooper reel. Great blooper reel. Have it on VHS. It's unclear if Biden's campaign bought the website or if it was handed over by former Democratic candidate Tom Steyer, who said he acquired the domain name long ago. I think it's a pretty cool troll. I think it's pretty cool. You know, it's kind of because it is. You, I guess if you were to Google that. That being said, I got to be honest with you. Somebody who's looking for that Donald Trump website is not sticking around to go through all of Joe Biden's talking points. They're going to go, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. What happened?
They're not even going to have a sense of humor about it. They're going to go, damn it, the Chinese! Look what they're doing! The Chinese! They're not sticking around. You're not converting anybody with that website. You know what they should do? You should just have a Joe Biden go, nanny, nanny, poo-poo, and give you a little wink. I own it. That's what it should be. That's what, and then some Trump fans will go, all right, that's a good one. That's a good one. At least
I would. Funny.
Yeah.
I own the neocons.
Yeah. I owned Trumpy. You know, there you go. There you go. And maybe a little picture of a Trumpy bear on the side of a road in a ditch, you know, hitchhiking or something like that. Make it comical. Nobody's sticking around.
Did you hear about the new Biden bear?
Oh, here we go.
What is it?
Comes out of its cave. Never comes out of its cave.
You, did you come up with that?
Huh?
Is that one of your jokes?
Yeah.
All right, that's good.
I like that.
Biden bear never comes out of his cave. All right. But would you? Would you? You would never leave if you didn't have to.
I would never leave my cave.
No, I got. I can't. I love my house. I love it here. But I gotta go out. I can't stay in. I'm
fucking nuts. All right. Listen. I think it's a pretty cool display of spite. I think it's pretty funny. I just think the way to play it would don't put your talking points on there. Nobody's sticking around who's looking for the talking points. Just put something funny on there. Fooled you.
Yeah.
you know. Put a couple funny things on there. Call it a day. That's the way. That's what I would do if I was him.
Yeah, I mean, just don't expend the energy. Nobody's gonna read it.
Well, as long as I'm here, let me hear what Joe Biden has to say. No, no.
I'll give you a fair assessment.
Yeah, right.
You know, I was gonna support Donald Trump.
That motherfucker.
I was gonna support Donald Trump, but now that he bought a $6 domain name, let me see what this Joe Biden has to offer. That's not happening. You know what he should have put in there? Like a little picture of Joe Biden says, it's not Go Daddy, I'm Donald Trump's daddy. That would be funny.
Yeah,
yeah, there you go.
The way Biden is, you know, he wasn't up to it. It's like, Mr. Biden, we have a new website up. Oh, how big's the spider? You know. I don't know what the fuck he's doing.
How big's the spider?
Okay, well, we better get some raids. No, you asshole.
Oh, interwebs, not spider webs. Oh.
All
right. So there you go. That was the latest. Amusing, yes. Probably a waste of some programmer's time putting all that nonsense on there. But
yeah.
You know, Donald Trump would show me something if he could do something like that. Donald Trump doesn't have the subtlety to do it, though. Like Donald Trump is not a nuanced type of guy. He's like, let me tweet something angrily.
Yes. That's more like it.
Yeah, but, you know, so he's got
all the nuance of a fucking loose boulder. Are you kidding me?
Okay. That's very specific. Somebody needs to go to the dentist. All right. So, A for effort by Team Biden. I'll give you a C-plus on execution.
Yeah.
All
right. That's fair enough. Yeah, okay. All right. Take our last break of the evening. We'll come back with some Scamming Scammers. We'll resume with Carolyn. On the break, we got new music from Nine Lies with Blind and Harriet Comfort with Time Is Now. And you can learn more about both of them